At the end of this month, Rising Fawn Gardens in Northwest Georgia will host an interpretive wildflower walk. Josh McKinley, the farm manager at Rising Fawn, will lead the walk on Saturday, March 28th, starting at 10:30 a.m., along the banks of Lookout Creek near the base of Lookout Mountain. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Describe this walk that you're going to take folks on.
We're going to do an interpretive wildflower walk at Rising Fawn Gardens, and we're going to be going out into the woods to see a group of flowers called spring ephemerals. It's a common name, I suppose you would say, because spring ephemeral doesn't refer to a particular kind of flower. It's a group of flowers, and it's given the name ephemeral because these flowers emerge in the spring, they flower and produce seeds in a very short time, and they die back before the canopy trees leaf out. They take advantage of a brief window, and so they come out in tremendous profusion. Flowers by the tens of thousands, I think it's fair to say.
Give us some examples that people might recognize.
The Virginia bluebell is kind of an iconic flower in this area, and it's a spring ephemeral. We call this an interpretive wildflower walk because we share details and information about the different flowers as we go along. Like, for example, with the Virginia bluebells, it's a flower, and as the name implies, it's blue to kind of purple in color, and it resembles somewhat a bell, and they come out in clusters. But some of the explanation that we might do about that is that Virginia bluebells have this really strange thing that they need in order to grow. So they can only live on relatively sandy soils that are scoured intermittently by streams over limestone. So that's a pretty specific niche that this flower occupies in nature. And if all those things don't come together in the same spot, you won't find a bluebell there. But where you do find bluebells, you usually find a lot of them. And we have an island in Lookout Creek on the farm that we call Bluebell Island because it is covered from one end to the next with Virginia bluebells, and it's large. All totaled, the area might be close to half an acre in size of just a solid carpet of bluebells, and coming out to see it, it's a remarkable thing. It pretty much, it reminds me of the way that people respond to redwood trees when they see it, because when people see a redwood tree for the first time, the reaction is silence. They just kind of get quiet and realize that they're in the presence of something surprising in nature, and these bluebells have the same effect.
Or to talk about flowers in another part of the country, I'm thinking of the Texas bluebonnets.
Texas bluebonnets, an excellent example, similar effect.
The bluebells, they're Rising Fawn, that's just one flower on this walk.
That's correct. There's going to be a lot more. And so, for example, bloodroot is out right now, and it's one of the very earliest of the spring ephemerals. And if you've ever seen a water lotus, bloodroot looks something like a water lotus. It's this beautiful white flower with numerous petals. It emerges kind of close to the ground. It's hard to spot the first one, but as soon as you see it, you won't forget it. It's just a really beautiful flower. They call it bloodroot because it has a rhizome beneath it that if you dig it and break the rhizome, it produces this sap that's very red and sticky and is the color and consistency of blood, hence the name. So brilliantly white flower and blood red sap, but we have a lot of those. We also have trout lilies, which is this yellow flower. They emerge in huge numbers and flower all at once. Kind of the secret to remembering the name trout lily is that if you touch the leaf of a trout lily, it has the same texture as touching the side of a trout. The leaf of the plant feels like the skin on a trout, which, you know, unlike other fish, is not scaly. It's rather smooth.
Every flower has a story, and to talk about flowers requires storytelling.
Absolutely. That's kind of my philosophy about education in nature. You can't point at things and name names. The human brain has been just designed through time and experience to latch on to information that's coded into stories. That's why for almost every flower that we're going to point out, we're going to have stories and information that go along with it that are going to help people kind of grasp it, understand it, and remember it. Because you may not remember the name of the flower, but you'll remember the story that goes along with it. Because names aren't important. It doesn't matter if it's called a bluebell or a purple bell. You know, what matters is the knowledge that comes with that.
As a storyteller, you have a background as a ranger, as a paramedic, as a firefighter.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of training in primitive skills. Primitive skills is the term that I like to use for wilderness survival. So I got interested in wilderness survival at a really young age. When you think of wilderness survival, you might think of a person kind of going out and roughing it with nothing but a knife in the middle of the woods. But the reality is, it's a lot less dramatic than that. And the measure of how good your survival skills are is how comfortable you are. So, you know, if you're sleeping under a piece of bark, freezing at night, clutching your knife, your skills are not that great. But if you're able to go into the woods and be comfortable in primitive survival and even thrive, then your skills are good. One dimension of your skill set is what you know about what's around you and what you can observe. So that is kind of the path that sort of led me to finding out about flowers and things like that, because if you're going to thrive in the woods, you need to know a lot about plants. And so with most primitive skills, once you start learning about it, you know, eventually you just want to know about it because you want to know about it. At a certain point, it's not about the utility anymore.
In addition to your role there at Rising Fawn, you're involved with Sequatchie School.
That's correct. Yeah. My role at the Sequatchie School is I teach primitive skills. So I teach shelter construction, primitive trap making, primitive bow making, archery techniques, fire by friction. And there's a lot of different ways of doing each of these skills. And so each class that I teach looks into a different set of each discipline. I also teach emergency medical classes there, like trauma medicine, because frequently in the outdoors, you know, injuries occur. When they occur, you got to have a skill set to help you manage that situation.
All these experiences come in handy when you are taking folks on this interpretive wildflower hike.
Yeah, every time, because each of the experiences that I've had with each of the plants kind of brings a little bit more depth to what I'm able to say about it and share about each plant and flower.
And where can people go online for more information?
If you go to the Rising Fawn Gardens website, it's risingfawngardens.com, or usually the way I get to it is I just Google Rising Fawn Gardens. We're the only one out there, and we're the first thing that comes up. So you can register there. The hike is on the 28th of March. And we also have, for folks that can't make that one, we also have a second hike, which is May 9th of 2020. And it runs from 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m., both hikes. Bring a lunch, because after the hike, you can just enjoy the farm a little bit and enjoy your lunch.
All right, Josh, thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.